God now. We ready? All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Why don't you go ahead and get a hold of your Bibles. We're going to go on back over to John chapter 5. As you settle in and we open up his word, we want to be obviously prayerful about what our message is from him. Because this is our second teaching on this passage. Hopefully most of you were here last week. And we looked at what the passage said. What it said, it was a lot of some theology. I kind of joked around. We're sitting in seminary. But today, it's really about what the passage means. And I believe, really, I'm here not here just to be a Bible teacher or just preach you some truths of the Bible. But I want you to take home some of the truths of the Bible and allow it to affect you deep inside your being. If it's not doing that, then we're not connecting here, because that's the Holy Spirit's job. And I'm here to impart and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, and by the power of his Holy Spirit, it will enter into your hearts. Amen? John chapter 5. John, Gospel of John. So head on over four books into the New Testament. So we're going to be in verses 1 through 15. I'm not going to read through it. We're going to open up in some time of prayer, and we're going to get into some application. Let's bow our heads. Father God, you are awesome. And we do give you thanks, because you are good to us. And I thank you for all that you do, and all that you've done, and all that you're going to do. I can't even imagine, because it's only getting better and better. And so, Lord, we bow our knee to you. We surrender what you have for us, because, Lord, it's all yours. And let us embrace that gift, the good gift that you have for us today through your word. And we give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. So what does this passage mean to me? I wanted to talk about last week a little bit. We were able to see the story here of a man who was sick for many, many years. And my point in somewhere in there, I hope you got out, that this story is not about that man who sat at that pool by the sheep gate or his healing. Who is it about? Who is it about? It was about Jesus. Come on, everybody point and say, that's about Jesus. Amen. And so as we look at the power of who Jesus is and his sovereignty over everything, including sickness, including your problem, including your issue you brought in here, he's sovereign. He knows. He's in full control. We see this power in the story here of this man at a pool called Bethesda. You'll see that there in verse 2. Bethesda. Had some porches, I described it, sheep gate, lots of sacrifice going on. A man there for 38 years. We see that in verse 5. Just follow along with me. A little review. Then Jesus comes along. Comes by, walks around the corner, and he looks at this man, pitiful, I'm sure, in this way. And he looks at him. He says, do you want to be healed? And he's healed like that. Immediately, he picked up his bed. Powerful. And then we get the Pharisees later on. We look at them all questioning this man. Hey, who told you to pick that mat up? It's the Sabbath. Kind of ironic. Remember that? The guy gets healed and the Pharisees are worried about him doing some mat work on the Sabbath. Not celebrating with this man. Wow, you've been healed. I've been seeing you here for 38 years. Well, but we're going to kick you out. Remember, the Jews in the synagogue were community is tight. If you don't have the synagogue, if you don't have the temple, you have nothing as an ancient Jew. So he was scared. And he threw Jesus under the bus. He calls him out. And in verse 16, you see there at the end of that passage, at the beginning of the next, for this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him. Because he healed a man, and the man picked up a mat on the Sabbath. We're going to kill that guy. Be careful with what religion does to you. I'm down with religion. I'm all about a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. Can I get an amen? But we want to see what we can do to be better Christians and followers of Jesus Christ. And we're here for more than just understanding of the Bible. We're here for more than just seeing what it actually, the Hebrew or the Greek means. Everyone here should be asking, what does this have to do with me, though? I'm reminded of a story of a young lady who went up to the front to ask the preacher after a gospel message from Jonah. That's great, preacher, but what does this man dying on a cross 2,000 years ago have to do with me? Well, that little lady was gloriously saved, and she was my wife. It has everything to do with you. everything to do with you. And every word and every story has something to do with you personally. And so first thing I want you to jot down, I hope a lot of you do take notes and write this down, maybe come to it, back to it. I'm hoping this blesses you. First thing we can take away from this story of this man sitting at a pool for 38 years, wondering, waiting, maybe losing hope. We're going to find out. Write this down. This is how we get through it. Take your eyes off the clock and get them on Jesus. Amen. How about getting our eyes off the clock and getting them on Jesus? Verse 5 and 6, we can see very clearly here as he's laying there. Now a certain man was there who had his infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, time is emphasized. Get your eyes off the clock and onto Jesus. I want to talk a little bit about trials. What's hard about trials? Let's think about that. Some things that came to my mind. Some of the hardest things that have to do with trials. Some things maybe might be to you. Maybe I get three of them suggested. The hardest part of a trial could be the depth. How about the depth? You ever think of how deep things are? Yeah, I've been through some deep times. It's been hard. It's been really hard. But it's really not the depth that makes the trial seem unbearable. Really, you're stronger than you think in the Lord, amen? Your faith is really able to rise up in the deepest, darkest times. And with that, it's not the darkness either. Darkness can be a problem in a trial. But that's not the biggest problem in a trial. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know when this is going to end. I don't know how. I can't see in front of my face right now. It's so hard. It's hard. I've been there. In fact, I'm kind of right there right now. It's really not the depth. It's not the darkness. Here it is, I believe. It's really the duration. It's the duration. Write that down. It's the amount of time that it goes on. And it's not just the amount, but what about the not knowing how long it's going to go on? Anybody tracking with me now? You could go through a whole lot of things if it was for 4 days. I could go through some very deep things if it's 4 months. I could go through some very dark times, even if it's 4 years. But it's the not knowing when the time will end in the trial that really rips us. As long as I know the duration, as long as I understand it, I can get over a whole lot of troubles and a whole lot of tribulations. True or false? True? True that? Amen? Come on, help me out here. I get tired if I'm up by myself. Amen? All right. But think about this guy for a moment. 38 years. I kind of sat back, all right, 38 years. That's a long time. 38 years ago, 1981. Some of you remember that. Some of you can't remember that for obvious reasons. Some of you remember that and wish you would forget those days. 1981. That's like forever ago. And that guy was laying by the pool since Ronald Reagan was president. And I did the math on this one. 13,870 days. How hopeful of a healing was he, say, in year 7? What goes on in your mind about year 15? What was he really thinking about this trial at year 22? That's a long time. What if someone came around the corner and told him, bro, if you got 16 years, can you hold on? 16 years, it's coming. When does he settle into never? When does he settle into, it's never going to happen. I'm never getting my miracle. I'm never getting this healing. I'm going to die on this mat. By this pool, right, at some point you settle into, this is it. This is it. This is the way it's going to be. At least that's what happens when you keep your eyes on the clock. That's the problem with the clock. Every tick, every rotation, less likely, it's not happened, not to me. That's why you need to hear this at church today. Some of you need to hear this right today. You have to get your eyes off the clock and get them on Jesus. Look at this guy's miracle. Year 38. Jesus comes around the corner. You want to be healed? Wow. Everything changed in year 38. Everybody say awesome. Everybody needs to understand that God is so much bigger than the clock. Really, watching the clock builds despair. Watching Jesus brings hope. Watching the clock makes life a grind. Day by day, but looking at Jesus, it becomes grand. What does he have for me tomorrow? Watching the clock makes for some long nights. Watching Jesus makes for some restful nights. Wow, for some of you, this is hitting right at the bullseye of your life. You've had your eyes on the clock and you've been despairing about how long this trial is going to be. And here's some things that you can do. I want to give you some practical things. Go home and make this a game changer today for you so you can receive that miracle God has for you. First of all, dismiss the lie. Dismiss the lie that the longer the time you wait, the less likely Jesus is going to answer you. Some of you are wondering, I don't think he's coming. I just don't hear it anymore. That's a lie from the pits of hell, and you need to dismiss it in Jesus' name. You need to grab hold of the truth that he is a promise keeper, and he will come after you and say, now I'm ready for you. Are you ready for me? Remember how he asked that man, are you ready? Are you willing? Do you want to? Dismiss that lie. God will answer you at the right time. He will answer you at the best time. And even if it's a long time, he's going to answer you. Are you ready? Are you ready? Second, after you dismiss that lie, how about you purpose to wait? Oh gosh, Pastor, I don't want to wait anymore. It's too hard to wait. But really, waiting is the best thing a Christian can do. And I understand it's the hardest thing a Christian can do. Waiting is putting you and your trust right into God's hands completely. That's what waiting is all about. And when you can wait on God and realize what he's doing, Psalm 62 verses 5 through 8 says, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Dismiss that lie. Propose to wait. And then Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. You have to devote yourself to prayer. Are you going to get down into the ground with Jesus facing the mat saying, whenever you want, Jesus, whatever the time, I know you're going to come. Things I have gone through and realizing the culmination of all these, the life I've lived, and it's not even all the years that some of you have lived, I've come to realize prayer works. Prayer does some things. And when I put my eyes on Jesus and I get my eyes off the clock, I start to understand that the lies are of that, the devil. The waiting is beautiful and the prayers are deep. And this is what it's all about. Get your eyes off the clock and back on Jesus. Take that home with you. Here's another one. How about getting your mind off the obstacles? How about get your mind off of all the walls that stand in your way to your miracle? How about you realize that those walls are sometimes built by us, you, and it's time to get your eyes off it. I'm talking also not only the things in front of you, but also your thinking. Your thinking becomes to be problems. What you think about has influence on how you do things. It's really not about what you eat. It's what's eating you that comes out in your life. And we want to be purposeful. It's important. Verse 6, I mean, it's just a question that's amazing. Do you want to be healed? Some of you have those in red. Underline that. Do you want to be made well? It's an interesting question. But think about it for a moment. It's the King of the universe asking it. That's quite a deep question. It's very insightful, actually. Jesus looks into this man's heart. He sees beyond the surface. For us, it's a time of trial that really we have hope. We can go through some things, like I said, and hey, I know something's going to happen. I know I'm going to get out of this. I know my marriage is going to be restored. I know my prodigal's coming back. I know my finances are going to come back. And whatever your massive trial is or was or might be, you hope for a season, for a while. But then after a time, you stop hoping. That's a rough time, amen? when you stop hoping. And this is what makes Jesus' question massively insightful. He probably lost hope a long time ago. And Jesus looks at him, do you want to be made well? Can I challenge you with that very question today? Do you want your miracle today? Do you want to be made well? Have you lost hope? Do you want to see God work in your life? Do you even hope anymore? Biblical hope is all the confident expectation of something better tomorrow. That's what it is. He has something new for you tomorrow. And I'm not going to get worse and worse. I'm going to get better and better. And eventually I'm getting to heaven. So something's really, really good up ahead. But I don't want to be on that clock. I don't want to be on those problems, on those obstacles. We have God's transforming power in us. We have His promises to us. It's getting better. My question to you, are you getting better or are you getting bitter? Don't get bitter. Don't get bitter at life. Rebuke that attitude. Get rid of that problem. God is using the circumstances of life to form you and shape you and make you more like the King of the Kings, Jesus. He wants you to look more and more like that today and tomorrow and the next day. But some of you may have lost hope. Some listening here, some listening elsewhere. You say, it's my life and it's deteriorating. It's over. This is gone. I don't say this lightly to you. I know life can make hopelessness an only choice. Because I understand when you lose hope, you realize how much of a hassle it is to hope anymore. Isn't that true? When you start losing hope, you realize it's just a hassle. I'm really tired of putting on the face, dressing up that I have hope, and going out into the world while all the hope suckers in my life say, you're kind of unrealistic there. Hey man, you've been here for 22 years. You really think something's going to happen? You really think that water's going to stir and you're going to get into that pool? I don't think that's happening. But I still have hope. Isn't it eventually sometimes we say, I don't know if I have hope anymore. Be careful of those people. Be careful of those hope suckers that want to grab the realization that God is bigger than my problem. And you tell them to go away. I've got something bigger tomorrow. Anyone have a hope sucker in your life? Anyone know what I'm talking about? A couple of them are like, yes, Miles, you don't want to raise your hand yet. It's a hassle sometimes to hope. You have to overcome those people. And God makes us a joy in our lives when we keep our eyes on Him. And so when hoping comes, doubting comes. And it takes work. And it's easy to criticize people, complain about my circumstances, doubt God Himself. Anyone ever get to that point? I don't even know if you're even around anymore, God. Notice you're still talking to Him. He's around. He's listening. He's listening. It's really just our nature. Don't be embarrassed about that. Talk about that. Let it come out in somebody you trust. In Christ, we have our minds being renewed. We have a word from God. We have the promises of God. We have the understanding of the Spirit of God in us and breathing through us. And we have here the people of God. You see the hope building and building and building. Get your eyes off that obstacle that's letting you not see the forest for the trees. It's beautiful on the other side. Hope's stirring in some of you right now. You're wondering, I want to take this home with me today. And hope takes that work, though. It takes focus. I don't want to send you out of here to be defeated. You got to understand Jesus is working in His time. And it's the right way. It's the best way. Though it's hard to hope. Sometimes it just plain hurts to hope. Just plain hurts. The easy way to do it is to cope. I don't want to hope anymore. It just hurts so much. I get down. I get defeated. I got the promises. I don't know if they're real. I'll just cope with everything. I'll just deal with it. I'm going to make a plan. I'm going to have some action and do something myself. Man, but 2 Corinthians 10:4 says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual and mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Coping is nothing compared to hoping. And this guy in year 38, got the God of the universe right in front of him. Do you really want to be made well? He should have said yes, but he wasn't there. Get your mind off those obstacles. Get him back on Jesus so when he comes around the corner of your life, you're willing to say, absolutely, I'm ready. Let me give you all the glory. Notice the guy had the objectives already at the tip of his tongue. Like I kind of made a comment last week. As he says, do you want to be made well? The man answers, sir, I have no man to put me in the pool. And when the water stirred up, and when I coming, another gets into the water before me. All the answers, all the reasons, all the issues. It almost seems to be just a bunch of superstition to me. Really, you're waiting for an angel? Are you got your eyes on some angel or something of the world to stir some water for you? It's Jesus. It's the King of the universe who made the water, who made the pool, who made everything, who has the miracle for you. Really, did the pool even heal? Seems to be some kind of issue there. I don't know. 38 years of hanging by the pool. How many years have you been hanging by the pool? What's your obstacle? Is there no man to get you to the pool? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. He's around the corner. Are you ready? He's so focused, this man, on how I'm used to being do this. This is why I'm like this. So focused on this is the problem. Don't we tend to do this? This is why I'm like this, Bill. It was my parents. It was my sister. My marriage is like this because I didn't get married to the right person. It was my spouse's fault. My finances are always in the toilet because I always have something that comes up. See, you've got your reasons, but you don't have the heart in the matter. He has your heart in this. He wants you to give it to him. It's time to choose hope. And in Psalm 42:5, it says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. That's awesome. That is awesome. This man clearly lost hope. He had his excuses. He had his reasons. Let me just ask you, what is it you long to see God do in your life? What is it you came in here carrying that you are asking God for some years, maybe 38 years, I still have some hope yet, God? Would you let God open your heart to hoping again in the matter? Would you get away from the coping and back into the hoping and believing that even if it's year 7, year 15, year 22, he's here? Do you understand heaven's coming? Even if it's 16 more years, can you give that to him? Don't you want to be filled with hope when Jesus comes around that corner? You know, I was thinking about that. Imagine the thought in his mind when that question was asked. He sees, he had to know who Jesus was. I understand Jesus to be the greatest phenomenon to ever cross the horizon of human history. And if he has something for you, it's going to be big. It's going to be really big. And if you're down, he's going to lift you up. And if you're hurting, he's going to heal you. If you're weary, he's going to carry you. And if you're hopeless, he's going to fill you. Sometimes you struggle and he's going to give you that hope again. He's God's son. He's part of the Trinity. That's just who he is. Some of you are wondering, is he ever going to come around the corner? He wants to help you and give you the miracle. Which brings me to the last point. Because sometimes the miracle hasn't happened in our heart yet to receive what he has. I don't see this man was saved. This might be a warning to some of us as he threw Jesus under the bus and he went on. Who knows what he did, but Jesus there said in the understanding of verse 14, you have been made well, sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. Maybe some of you need to lay down your sin today. Some of you may have been carrying some sin that brought you into a place and you don't know how to get out of it. It's okay. He's willing to forgive you that sin. Are you willing to embrace today the work of the cross of Jesus Christ? Maybe that's the miracle you need this morning. And maybe that's what we need to lay down. Lay it before Jesus. You may be the one who has been coming to church for years, trusting in your religion. You too need to lay that down before the cross. Hanging around church, not sure what it's all about. Looking at Christianity as something to take from instead of giving to. And really it's time for you to have your story begun. And maybe it's your year 38. And Jesus is asking, do you want to be made well? Wants to raise her hand and say yes. Amen. God has a miracle. Close your eyes. You know, can you just play a little music? We're going to pray for that. Why don't you stand? We're going to do is an act of faith. All eyes closed. All heads bowed. I know it's quiet in here. I know God's Spirit is working when it's like this. So I want you to, if you're waiting for that miracle, if you've been asking God, I don't know if you're going to do anything in this situation, I don't know when, this is the time that I want you to hope again. I want you to stand to your feet if you're asking God for a miracle today. Don't be afraid. This is going to be an act of faith. It's not a question of who's going to get you to the pool. It's not a question if I have 16 more years. It's a question of I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus today. Take a moment. Cry out to Him in your heart. That miracle need that only He can provide. All eyes closed. Heads bowed. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, I just thank You for the awesomeness of this story. You never forget those laying down, no matter if it's many years. Time is not of You. You don't operate in time, God. And there's some standing here right now who've been waiting for that miracle for years, wondering, waiting, praying. So, Lord, I ask that You sustain them and You give them the need by the power of the name of Jesus. Impart to them, Lord, the miracle that they need to go forth, that they can get up and walk. God, let their hearts be Your will, but not mine. Let their minds be surrendered, laying their sins down before You and being clean as little babies in Your eyes. Lord, touch each person here, each miracle need. You are the miracle working God, and we believe in that. We choose today to trust You, Lord. We choose today to believe You, Lord. And we choose today to walk out of here with a new blessing of hope for that which You're going to do. We give You all the praise. We give You all the glory. And all God's people say, amen. May God richly bless you today. May He touch you in a wonderfully fresh way. You are loved. Enjoy the week in the Lord. God bless.